As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you guys know that I'm happy to be here and looking forward to the opportunity to talk to you about the kinds of things that impact our lives now and in the future. And it's important that our voices are heard loud and clear. And today is no different. As I went around looking for subjects and stories to talk about today, I saw a lot of different things that we need to discuss. But one popped out of my head more than others. And it did because of the world we live in now. It seems as though we have a lot of judges who are incapable of making proper decisions because of the world they used to live in. And they're not recognizing that we are living in another world and that we have to be careful with criminalizing common behavior. And I'm going to talk to you all about a story, and I hope you were able to see the video, about a young man named Zach, who seems to be a white American, and it doesn't really matter what color he is, because we know that people of color would maybe be treated even worse. So it's important that we talk about this subject and see, because of our new technology, how we're going to plan to deal with these situations as they continue to come up. Zach is about the age of 19 at the time this took place. And just like most teenagers or teens, he has become accustomed to using apps that allow them to interact with each other on a personal basis. Zach went to a app that was for dating young adults. And when he went to this website, he assumed everybody that was on the website were of age. And one of the persons that he met on the website said that they were 18. And previously he had done the same thing and gone to the website and met someone who was his same age without incident. But on this occasion, he met someone who told him she was 18, but she happened to be 14. And he drove to pick her up, and they had consensual sex. Well, the mother reported her daughter is missing. And so at the point, the police got involved. They investigated and arrested Zach for having sex with someone under the age of 18. He was convicted and was going to be put on the sex register for 25 years after serving 3 months in jail, and restricted from going to any place that had alcohol or could not use the computer during his probationary period. And the judge said that his culture of hook up and have sex was inappropriate, and that was the reason why he was coming down on Zach so hard. So I just want to talk to you all today about the fact that when we have older judges who seem to refuse to recognize the changing in time, not necessarily should Zach not be punished for having sex with somebody under the age of 18, but certainly recognizing that he was not aware that this person was under the age of 18 and shouldn't be looked at as a sexual predator. He certainly wasn't going looking for somebody under the age of 18, and this young lady shouldn't have portrayed herself as over the age of 18. Even her mother went to court and spoke on Zach's behalf related to not wanting him to be punished because her daughter had acted inappropriately. And the daughter clearly said that she thought that he shouldn't be punished at all because of the role that she played. So we just want to talk today about when you have young teenagers, 18 and 19, who are in this environment and who are using these apps to meet people, what responsibility do they have to making sure that the people they're actually meeting are telling them the truth? And is there any punishment for somebody putting false information on the app at the time this situation occurred? Talk about how we're going to evolve when we have these kind of situations occur. And is it appropriate to have these kind of strict and rigid rules placed on somebody who is in their 20s to talk about being on a sexual register for 25 years for having consensual sex? Dee, I'm going to come to you first and just, I mean, does this seem kind of extreme to you to have a 19-year-old at the time being put on a sex register in two states for 25 years, not allowed to touch a computer, not allowed to be alone with anyone under the age of 18, not allowed to go to any place where alcohol is served? Isn't that kind of stringent for this kind of situation?
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you, James, for another great topic again, and thanks for your time to come to the forefront with some great issues. I think, first of all, it's important to say, in my opinion, that the game of hiring sex is a dangerous game in itself. Sex for hire is a dangerous game in itself. In modern times, if you are going to put yourself out there for the scrutiny and at the risk of temporary satisfaction outside of a relationship for money, that's a dangerous game to play. Especially in modern times, like, you know, when the TV show Nightline used to have these hookups where they would portray younger women to be young girls, and they went on fishing expeditions to see if they can attract men to call in and to arrange dates with these supposed young girls. My point is that you never know what you're gonna bite get into. It could be sting operations, and when it comes down to the guy, better known as the John, when they are on the hunt, and that's all that it is. Let's be fair about that. When they're on the hunt, if they come to find out the girl is underage at the time, well, they're well into the hunt. And to the John, they really don't matter. And so don't be fooled. If it's a 55-year-old man, if it's a guy 17 or 18 or 19, once he can come in actual contact with the girl of the young woman. And he actually can tell from appearance that she's underage, 14, 15, 16. He's not going to turn around because he's come too far. So it's a dangerous situation to be in. And I think I just want to close at that. Thank you.
And indeed, I recognize that there is a responsibility for young men to thinking that in this situation, again, this young man went on an app. And clearly, we have apps advertised all over the country, Match, Hookup, all these different apps that allow you to meet people who you would normally not meet. Aren't you thinking or believing that the information that they give is truthful? Audrey, what are your thoughts about whether or not people should be some kind of priority should be given to people who go on these things and lie about their age?
Well, I don't think that the guy should have been penalized just by himself. I mean, the girl lied, you know, and if I'm not mistaken, she was 14 and portrayed herself to be 17. And I guess this guy must have been about 19. And what really threw me is that they're both still considered to be teenagers in those states back there. This is what my understanding, until they're 21. You see, so.
And that's correct.
Yeah, and see, in my state, it's totally different. It's 18. So if you're going to penalize one teen, the other one played just as much part as the guy did, as Zach did. Why does she get a free card for lying? And so I don't know go ahead, I'm sorry.
And that's true, and clearly her mother has been having some issues with her, and that's why the mother called her in as a missing person, is because she had been dealing with this child being a little bit out of control. And here she was on an adult app portraying herself to be a certain age and being 1 year younger than Zach wouldn't have made this a crime.
Mm-hmm. That's correct, but I don't know. You know, they're both teenagers. She should have been judged on her character and got some kind of penalty if he's going to get a penalty.
And certainly a penalty of 25 years to be on a sexual a register seems to be a little rough. Welcome, Cheryl. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening. How are you doing? Hi, everybody else.
I'm doing fine. Cheryl, we're talking about a young man named Zach who was 19 years of age who was on an app and met a young lady, and she was told that the young lady was 17. And he met up with the young lady and went and had consensual sex. The mother had called the police because she thought her daughter was missing, only to find out that her daughter had hooked up with Zach. And he was convicted of being with a minor and given 3 months in jail, 5 years on a sexual offender register. So we're just talking about whether or not a judge was being fair to this young man based on the situation.
Now, was he aware that the girl was a minor?
He was not aware that she was 14. She said that she was 17, and he was 19.
Whoa. Well, I don't know. I mean, because of her lie, it put him in the position that he was in. I mean, how was he supposed to know that she was really 14? I mean, that don't seem to be, I mean, just me looking at it, that don't seem to be quite fair if he's going to be pimp. Well, what happens to her for lying?
Nothing. And that was the case. And both her and her mother came to his defense. But the judge, being an older individual who probably had no experience with the, you know, this new technology, his statement was that he thought it was immoral for a man to be out there just hooking up with girls for sex, and that he considered him to be a predator. And the issue is that if you understand how things are done now, that people are using the computer now, both men and women, to meet each other. So how are you going to make this situation something that is offensive when it's becoming commonplace?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's using the app what it's intended for. And now once they meet, and like I said, I mean, what happened was not, I mean, he didn't do this intentionally. I could see if he knew she was a minor and he still went, you know, and he still had sex with her. But like you said, I mean, this is modern day technology, you know, that he went to. So, I mean, if you're going to do him something, what about the person who created the app? I mean,
you know, that's true. I mean, what obligations does the person who created the app have to make sure that the information on the app is correct so that people don't fall prey to people lying? That is a good question, I doubt if there's any liability for that person, because just like Audrey said, the girl gets away with lying and admitting that she put the wrong age on the app in the first place. So if she's not going to get in trouble, why is he being taken to this kind of scrutiny? And he was given 25 years. Now, you know that being put on a sexual register when you're 20 for 25 years, which is going to impact your ability to get a job and all kind of other things, that truly that seems to be an extreme punishment for this young man.
Most definitely. I just don't think that the punishment fits this situation. And if I was him and his lawyer, I would appeal it.
Audrey, what is it? You know, Cheryl just brought up a point. People create these apps for people to meet each other. And when someone's using it the way it was intended to be used, you don't know if the information being put on this app is true or false. And so, if both people are consensual, how can one be held so accountable and the other not be held accountable at all?
Is that for Audre?
Yes. Yes, it's for you, Audre Jones.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, I can't see the guy being penalized if the young girl is not held accountable in some kind of way. Now, when you go out on these apps, a lot of these apps are free, or a lot of them you pay $39 a month or something. It's only the ones that are very expensive where you're putting out $400 or $500 that they go in and they do real detailed background checks. So, you know, I guess you get what you get. But I really don't think that the guy should just be hung out to dry with the girl not suffering any kind of penalty.
And then you have to ask yourself, you know, when a young man, you know how young men are, D. I didn't have access to this kind of stuff. But when you, back in the days when we were dating, if you went to a club or went to somewhere where only college students were supposed to be, you didn't go around asking for ID. I mean, you just assumed that if they were at a college dance, that they were adults, that they were college students. Or if you went to a club where only adults were supposed to go, then they were who they say they were. And so nowadays we have people able to get on these apps. Shouldn't the justice system make some kind of adjustment about how they're going to deal with these situations?
Well, I think that's a very good point, that the justice system, if you're going to allow these things to happen, then there should be some regulations on the fundamentals on what it is that one will have to encounter. Undoubtedly, the person rendering the services is part of a what they call a online modeling agency, and it doesn't take much to be part of that. All you do is just supposedly prove your age, and you become part of the app, and then she's probably put in a pool where the John then would go into a category. And then find my way of pictures, somebody that he likes, and then call that person on that part. So when it comes down to a actual company being responsible, and that's where I'm going with this, when it comes down to an actual company being responsible, these programs are actually set up with very little effort. So, yes, the Justice Department should be the one that's held to some kind of responsibility for neglect of holding up some kind of statute to where these things should be monitored. But again, now, in modern times, my opinion is that it's real dangerous to be going out and meeting somebody these days. It puts me in the mind of the Craigslist murderer, where somebody was going to meet a real estate agent. Well, a real estate agent was going to meet a buyer, and she didn't make it out alive. Y'all folks should be kind of mindful of the probabilities of the worst happening. Thanks.
And, D, without a doubt, you're right. You're risking something when you get on these apps and you meet people who you truly do not know. And there have been a lot of incidences where people were meeting people who intended to do them harm. But the vast majority of these people using these apps meet people, and it's just a normal situation. But here what you have is when young people meet people who say they're of age, but then they're not, and then this person is held criminally liable. One of the problems is that when you're going on these apps, you're assuming that what the person puts on in the information is truthful. And if you can prove that they lied, then there should be some exemption from the penalty, especially when the parent and the child comes up and tells you that they lied about their age. I thought that the sexual offender register was put in place mostly for people who were very much older than these young girls. And in that situation, I can understand the need for that person to make sure that that person is of age. But if you are very close to the age of the person, you may assume that they are in your age group. We recognize now that a lot of young girls appear to be much older than they are because of their body type and the way they dress and the makeup they use. So, Cheryl, it is, you know there are a lot of high school girls who go on college campuses, go to college parties, and who are getting on these apps meeting college young men. And should these men be at the mercy of a lie that these women are telling, even to the point where they may have fake IDs?
you know, I was just doing this time from the last time I was discussing that with my son to ask him, had he heard about it? And he said no, and I explained everything to him. And, you know, what some of the questions that he asked me, did she look older? And I guess just like you're saying, and I know quite a few of the young ladies today are so fully developed that you really don't know their age. But, you know, in his situation, I always tell him, it is your responsibility to know for sure, you know, and I tell him all the time about keeping your hands, you know, because to yourself, because you don't know. I mean, even if you're not engaging in sexual, you know, a sexual act, you know, even putting your hands on a young lady and not being aware of her age, it's still sexual harassment, you know, and I mean, it's a stiffer penalty because of being a minor that's involving herself in, you know, with him just going to college. You know, you got the ones that's still in high school and you got the ones that are just, you know, in college. So the high school kids are trying to go, just like you said, to things that the college is now holding. And you got from various high schools, and these young ladies, you know, they definitely look older than what they are, and they trying to appear much older so that they can fit in, so that they can get the guys that are, so they say, college guys. You know, and I mean, I don't know, but I tell him it is your responsibility to, you know, to be very, very careful. And now with this dating app, you would think that people are not lying on it. So I think that he probably didn't find the need to have to go any further, but believe everything that was put on the site itself. But, you know, today we live in a society where, you know, we got to have proof for everything now. And because, you know, things that, I mean, just like you said, he's getting jail time, and he's also going to be labeled as a sex offender. I mean, this is going to restrict him from a lot of things for the, you know, for a long time in his life. It's going to make a huge impact, and it's the same way that's happening with the college kids today and the young girls, you know, from high school that want to involve themselves in activities, you know, today. They have to be careful. I mean, because this has set an example, and there have been many examples that's been set, you know, before us. So is all of this fair? No, it's not fair. But this is something that should be an example, you know, for all to come. And that's why I wanted to bring it to his attention. Not that I don't repeatedly go over with him, you know, when he's going places and just, you know, everyday life, but just making him aware of just what happened and how this can affect the rest of your life.
Yeah. I have a question or maybe a statement. I can't imagine someone filling out this application and there not being a question on there stating that you are telling the truth. I've never filled that one. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure. They have a profile. Most of these things have profiles. And you, at the time that you enter these apps, they have an agreement that you're going to be truthful. But it's just a normal, regular agreement to keep young people what they saw in an attempt to try to keep young people from getting on these same apps that adults are getting on. But once they're on the app, I don't think there's anything else that they do to try to prove that the information that they're putting on the app is truthful. They just it's just an honor code. And so then people are at the mercy of whatever they put on these things. Andre, well, I think what are your thoughts? You know, okay, go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Well, I think if they had something that was more concrete to say that I am telling the truth, I am who I am, and if you lie, then you get caught, then there are consequences for you. You know, if that question had been on there and been very concrete and that 14-year-old girl lied, then she would have been held just as responsible for the act as that.
And certainly there seemed to be no nothing that I read indicated that the judge even concerned himself with the fact that she lied. He focused only on the fact that he was saying that society is going awry because of all this hooking up and having sex. And should he be the moral police from the bench versus giving the – I mean, that's what's happening. So how are you going to control it by giving a punishment to this young man that was unreasonable? Because that's not going to send a message to all America to stop hooking up. This is what some people do. Andre, what are your thoughts about, here's a situation where a young man is going on an app. He's assuming that whatever the information the person puts on the app is truthful. He meets up with this person, only to find out later that the police are looking for him because this girl is not 17. She is 14.
A wonderful Wednesday to everyone. So I'm thinking you're talking about a dating app, or is it somewhere you trade in products? Okay. If it's a dating app, okay. Well, then I would be concerned with, you know, you have some perpetrators where older people prey on young people purposely. But in this case, it seemed like it's flipped. And, you know, how can the person know any different? Like you said, and like Ms. Jones said, that, you know, unless someone has a statement that they're committed to, if I knowingly or falsely provide information and it's deemed to be untrue, then I will be held, you know, accountable for legal actions. And, you know, that would pause some people, but still, yet it still won't pause another. But I don't know the whole story. I'm just listening. But I'm very interested in understanding why they're not, again, saying for this particular issue, you know, the person had no idea of anything different. But I heard Ms. Cheryl say that she instruct her family to, you know, you have to be cautious until you know for yourself, because we all know that people look older sometimes, or and they, you know, you can't just go by what a person tell you for age. And it don't hurt to ask for ID, right? Because if a person have a problem with showing me ID, then it's a reason why they don't want to show. I don't have no problem saying what I say is true. So if you need to validate that for yourself, I don't have a problem with that. So I just think it's unfortunate that something happened and not knowingly that person wasn't aware, and find themselves in a situation like Cheryl said, that's life-changing, because once you get a felony or you get a record as a sex offender, that's a lot of obstacles that you have to overcome.
Well, this young man was charged and given 3 months in jail. He was told he had to register in two states as a sex offender for 25 years. He was told that he could not be alone with anybody under the age of 18 unless they were a relative, and that he was also told that he could not go to any establishment that served alcohol. And I mean, that is, and he can't be on a computer. I mean, at the age of 20, that was a crazy sentence or requirement, because you just locked that boy out of, I mean, what kind of life is he going to have under that kind of scrutiny?
You're exactly right. That's very harsh. And it sounds like he probably wasn't able to get any legal assistance.
Well, he did. His parents tried, but, I mean, this was the judge. He pleaded guilty because, I mean, based on what they were charging him with, he was guilty. But the parent of the girl and the girl herself spoke on his behalf. But the judge was just bent on sending a message. And I'm saying the message he is sending is not going to change the direction people are going in. People go to places and go to these apps to meet people and to hook up. So he was saying, the judge said, it is inappropriate for people to be out there just looking for sex. And I'm saying, both men and women are doing this. So how are you going to just hold this man accountable?
Well, it seems like the judge is trying to put some of their personal preference into play versus what's legal. Personal sites and apps, they're available and they're legal. So that's interesting.
Dee, let me ask you, because you are from Atlanta, and I have never been in a situation where colleges were so prevalent in and around the black community. And so when I went to South Carolina State, we were very close. We had two colleges right next to each other, and there was a high school down the street. And so clearly high school students were seeking the opportunity to come on college campuses when we had college activities. And I know, being in Atlanta where you have the college complex surrounded by black neighborhoods, you're going to have young people coming on these campuses. And so don't you put the risk these young adults who are just leaving high school at the mercy of these situations, especially now with these apps, and if you're going to hold them to that kind of scrutiny.
Yes, James, you are right. But I think it's fair to understand that when these young people, especially the girls, when they become of high school graduate age, their situation looking for freedom comes into play. And you got to know that the men, older men, I've seen where here late in the past 20 years, where the men seems to be more wanting for the younger girls coming out of high school. They think that they are in a position to educate, if you will. I know that's not a nice term to put, but you know, when it comes down for these young people to be in an environment to where they can start to drink, even though they're not of age, it puts them in a precarious situation. And the danger is, though, that a lot of times the men that they interact with are a lot more mature streetwise than one might be expecting. A lot of times these guys are flamboyant in a way where they might be selling drugs on the side. They may have a little marijuana available. And for these girls getting out from the comforts of their home and mom and dad, they are willing participants. Now, but I want to get back to the app and the programs that make themselves available. You know, you got upstanding companies that will ask for probably your ID if you want to be the model that's one that won't be a part of the system. They may ask for the ID, but they all have this, I would think they all have this waiver at the bottom of the supposed contract that will state you're on your own if you choose to do this. And if things go sour in any of your encounters, we are not liable. In that, they are to scrutinize their own johns, if you will, to make sure that this is going to be a safe environment for you. All right, so you got the reputable companies, if you will, but you also have the generic companies that won't ask for anything. All they want to do is get paid by when somebody click on the picture, and that's the way that they get paid, and you get paid the way you get paid. So it's a heinous playing field out there. It's quite horrific. But like Miss Cheryl, this is the education that has to be had for your young people. All the stops are out. Don't nobody care about you but you and your family. Because when you step out here, especially in places like Atlanta, when you step out here, it's free game. And if you don't have any kind of if you don't have any home training, you could be in a very bad spot very quickly. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out of loving you.
Expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Again, we're talking about a situation where a young man found himself on an app, and he met a young lady who falsified information related to her age, and her mother called the police to let them know that her daughter was missing. And because of the investigation that the police made, they found out that Zach was 19 and this young lady was 14, but she said she was 17. And so we need, in this environment where a judge allowed his morality to be imposed on the morality of the day. We know that young men and women are meeting each other on these apps and are electing to have sex, but the punishment does not fit the crime at all. I'm not sure if that should have been given any time whatsoever. And to give him 3 months in jail and 25 years on the sex register in two states just seems to be extremely extreme, along with the can't go anywhere where they sell alcohol, and he can't be with anybody under the age of 18 except his sisters and brothers. And so we're just doing, I mean, it's almost like you punishing this person and that he may very well not be able to sustain probation or stay on probation. And so we know that if this is impacting this young man, being a white young man, and this was a white female, the kind of sentencing might happen to people of color. So it's important that our judges act in a reasonable fashion. Outside of what these two young people did, seemed to do something that was reasonable. Cheryl, let's talk about what the judge's behavior. I mean, you're impacting this young man's life for the rest of his life for consensual sex between him and a young girl who lied about her age and whose mother came to the defense of the defendant.
Now, what I'm gathering, and it seems to me as personal, I don't know, it seems as though he's frustrated with the apps that's out here. He don't believe that this should be, you know, that there should be dating apps. But it seems as though he brought his personal feelings onto the judgment of this young man, because this was not, I mean, clearly, to me, it was not judged based upon the evidence that was before him. This was something else that went along with it, and it seems that it was something personal. Now, with that issue that he had, I'm not, you know, I can't say exactly what it is. It could have been, you know, a number of things. It could have been that he's furious that there's dating apps. He could be that he's trying to get even for something that happened, and he's, you know, taking it out on him. But for whatever it is, it seemed as though he brought something personal into the this situation and put that judgment upon this young man. Because clearly, if he was reasonable and he's listening to everything that's going on, you know, he could have said, and he could have been tough all the way until the end and said, now look what could have happened to you, you know. And but because this was clearly not all of your fault, meaning that because the girl lied, you know, then I just want you to be aware of to not to let it happen again. You know, he could have went through all of that until the end when he passed judgment, but not that kind of judgment, you know, but to show him what could really happen had he, you know, if he was really aware of this young lady's, you know, age. But I think that he brought something personal to the table on this, and I think that that should be looked at. And again, I think that it should be appealed.
And clear, like you said, you have a lot of insight that somehow or another this man may have brought some of his personal baggage to the table, Andre, that allowed him to be just overboard with this situation, because here this young man is 20 years of age, and you're going to impose a sentence that is going to impact him till the time when he is 45 years of age for consensual sex, where you have the young lady and her mother vouching that he shouldn't have any penalty. I mean, kind of, what was he? Looked like to me he was not even seeking to do anything that was illegal. He didn't have that in his head. And so you're punishing him for what something that was not what he was attempting to do.
Yeah, and I'd be interested in seeing if you had mentioned that she was 14, but, you know, tried to pass herself off as being 17. You know, if that's in writing, surely, like I say, I just think that that has an opportunity to be reviewed again. And obviously, like everyone is saying, that he just really was implementing some personal views and not looking at just the whole scenario as it relates to what's legal and what's not.
Yeah, it is incredible to me that sometimes men are very hard on men, and that they sometimes see themselves protecting females. Now, there was a time in everybody's mind when females were not involved in some kind of the horrific things that they're involved in now. But now we see that women can be just as aggressive. Some of these young women are just as aggressive as men used to be. There used to be a time, understand, I come from a period where my daughter was born when I was 16, and young boys were very aggressive and young, and they took advantage of people, of women, when they shouldn't shouldn't have. But as a teacher, a retired teacher of 30 years, some of that has changed. And we now have young women who are just as aggressive as men and who will say anything to get what they want. So, Audrey Jones, what are your thoughts? I mean, we live in a society where young women should be held just as accountable as young boys when these situations happen.
Yeah, I think they should, you know, and I agree with you that in this environment, I mean, there's nothing for a woman or a young woman who's aggressive that see a gentleman that she likes or she thinks she likes to go up and ask the gentleman out instead of the gentleman coming to her. Now, James, I did read a little bit further, you know, before we came on. Now, the guy was charged in Indiana, and was it Michigan or Wisconsin? Another state.
Yeah, he went to Michigan, which was, I think, 20 miles away.
Okay. Well, the parents apparently got another attorney who had some sense, because I think this one judge had a personal vendetta. Michigan has dropped the charges. The only thing he has got going for him now is a 25-year probation, or 25-year whatever he got to do in Indiana, and they are fighting that. They're also fighting the right for him to be tried as a teenager instead of an adult, because I guess in this state, you're a teenager up until you're 21.
Correct.
Yeah, but the only charge he has now is a 25-year thing in Indiana. The
but
other charges were
dropped. Of itself, yeah, is a long time. I mean, when you look at the fact that you are, you know, there are even judges who will say, okay, if you don't commit any crime for next year or two, we'll wipe this off your record. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but to have somebody have something on their record that tight for that length of time, it's just unreasonable. And you're right, another judge did come in and drop a lot of the penalties in place,
yeah.
But 25 years is
a long
time to have something over your head.
I agree with the young lady that was before me. I think her name's Cheryl. I think the judge had it's something personal with him. Maybe he had a situation in his own family that he brought to court, and he should have left it outside the door. So I think it's probably some personal feelings in there.
Yeah, and again, this happened to, you know, we have to be real. D, when they're willing to treat white Americans like this, you know the kind of punishment that might happen to people of color.
Yeah, you're right, James. This is a very interesting case for the penalty to be as stiff as it was concerning a white American. You know, also in the penalty stage of this, the judge might have been trying to send a message, and I know everybody has said it before. One of the things that may have been considered in the trial or in the stages of questioning is his frequency in doing such. If he's a frequent person of such activities, if he is, then the judge might have felt that he needed to send a message or try to deter his activities in such things as getting out there online and dating women and not being mindful enough of their age. So I don't know. This might be one of those cases where we don't know the whole story. So if he came from a background of abuse, child abuse was in his home or in his family somewhere, the judge might have been somewhat mindful or afraid that he may pick up some bad habits somewhere in that respect.
And that's true, and that's the thing we have to be concerned about is when these judges bring their personal vendettas to the courtroom instead of just being trying to be fair, because you're not supposed to give inappropriate sentences just because you have the power to do that.
You're absolutely right, James, and that's why it goes back to us being active in our communities and voting. And before we vote, we have a little insight. We vote on our judges. So you're exactly right. Now, don't get me wrong. We all human and we make mistakes, but this one seemed surely out of line, which was confirmed by another judge overriding as much as they possibly could. So it takes us being proactive and, again, being involved in our communities and making sure that we're letting our voices be heard by the people we select to represent us.
And so we need to be, you know I have not spent as much time as I should evaluating the decisions that judges make so to consider whether or not they should retain their office. And so in a lot of places, judges just get the benefit of the doubt because people don't pay a lot of attention to the decisions that they make. But they have a real impact on our lives, more so than some of the politicians. And we really need to pay attention so that we don't allow these people to devastate the lives of young people and older people as well. Cheryl, because they can have a devastating impact. This young man was going to college, and he wanted to have a career in computers. And part of the sentence was that he wasn't supposed to touch a computer during his probationary period, which was going to ruin his college career.
Not only his college career, but, I mean, you know, everything is done through technology today. I mean, that's just a way of life right now. So it would be very hard for him to advance, you know, any kind of way. And then when you say computers, do you mean a computer itself, a laptop, a tablet, a phone? All of those are considered as some type of computer because we can also do some of the same work. And I know I do a lot of things on my phone that I can, you know, do as well on a laptop. So,
well, that was also part of his sentence. He couldn't have a cell phone.
He said that he can't have a cell phone?
He cannot have a cell phone.
Okay, so see, how can he do anything? I mean, that is what we don't have, you know, paper and pencil today with a lot of things that you have to send back. They say email it back. Doing business, we just use technology in just about every form, and they're beginning it with, you know, kindergartners are starting to have computers. So that restricts communication in a lot of different ways and also cut off things. Yeah, I think that they need to take that further and really got to do something about that. That's just not even realistic. I mean, I can't even see how he can really exist unless he just be locked up. And that's just what he's going to feel like he's going to be, just in a prison where he can't use a cell phone. I can't see that. I hope, you know, and I'm even praying for this situation that those charges, as far as that, those restrictions also be dropped, because he can't even lead any type of productive life like that.
And one of the things we all need to know and be aware of, I am aware of it, a lot of these inmates won't even take probation because some of the probationary rules are so stringent, they really believe that it's a setup, that if they got out, that the rules are so stringent that they will break the rules and be sent to jail for breaking probation. So when you give somebody probation and the rules of probation are so stringent that nobody can really follow them, then you're not really giving a person a chance to get their freedom. Dee, what are your thoughts about that? When these judges are out there giving these unreasonable type rules related to their probation.
Well, James, right there, you kind of got me. I have no comment of how that may be the case. I'm kind of baffled in not being able to give you any thoughts on that, because I'm a kind of guy that that like to play by the rules, and so I don't have any comment in that respect.
But D, when you tell a person that they can't go anywhere where they serve alcohol, and you know your family might want to go to Red Lobster, what restaurant of any type doesn't serve alcohol? So it is when you make these kind of rules that are just like Cheryl said, you know, when you make a rule that you can't have a computer, and all of our phones now operate like computers, you're just creating an environment that may be impossible for somebody to follow the rules. RJ, what are your thoughts about what Cheryl just said related? How is it true probation or fair probation if the rules that you set up are too stringent for anybody to follow?
Yeah, I think that one is really out of line, because you're setting that person up to fail. As popular as cell phones are, I mean, that's the way our society functions now. And like everyone said, our phones are no longer just for the purpose of calling and connecting with people verbally. We do so many transactions, and we have so much information readily available at our fingertips by using our phones. So I don't know. I don't know if he knew the person, if he knew their family, if he just, like you said, something was going on in his family or whatever, because that's just purely setting someone up to fail. Because while he may be on probation, but if he have to adhere to not utilizing phones, not being in an area that sells alcohol, you know, you even take children to places that sell alcohol, but that don't mean they drink it. I mean, you said a good example, Red Lobster or some of your other nicer restaurants, you may take your children there for a nice meal, and the adults will order an alcoholic beverage. But does that mean that person can't go out to eat anymore? So way out of line, just truly out of line.
Yeah,
all right, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and give everybody their final word.
Hell, I went wrong. The pain reflected in the soul.
Cheryl, your final thought for this evening?
As usual, this was a very good topic and very informational, because it gave us a chance to see just some of the things that are going on in the injustice, you know, that is taking place. And it was another something that opened up a dialogue for myself and my son, to just so that he could see something that is actually happening out here. So I really enjoyed it. As usual, you bring some very good topics, you know, to the show. And thank you.
All right. Audrey Jones, your final thought for this evening.
Okay, I agree with Audrey. It sounds like what would happen to that person, the judge would be setting him up to fail. And oftentimes when something like that happens, that person may become a career criminal. It'll be easier for him to live on the inside of the prison system than on the outside. He can use a phone. He gets free food. There are computers there. So he have more perks in the jail than outside the jail. And he's going to cost the state oodles of money. So those,
you're
those
so
are
right. And you shouldn't be putting setting people up for failure. I mean, our whole purpose is to make people good citizens. And when you put restraints on them that are in, that are, they are incapable of sticking to, does not do anything but create an environment to create more prisoners. Audrey, your final thought for this evening.
Let us be involved in the judicial system locally as well as nationally. And surely let us pray that those that are in authority will truly demonstrate justice. So we know that we have a lot of praying to do, but prayer without works is dead, so we have to take action also. So thank you for bringing this topic to our attention.
All right. As always, guys, I am just so appreciative for you all's continued support, and thank you for coming in and talking about the kind of issues that impact our lives now and in the future. We have to stay on top of things, because people are out there doing the kind of things that are going to be detrimental to our society and our communities and our families. And so we have to be in a position to try to have a voice on these meaningful topics. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time to talk about the things that will impact our lives now and in the future. And our voices have to be loud and clear. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, have a good one.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating opportunities to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow.